The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Monday, April 28th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Speaking of 420, how was your 420 weekend? We're going to talk a little bit about that. I've been away for a week due to unexpected circumstances, a little bit beyond my control, but not entirely. Today, we have got the mother of all stupid prohibition stories, starring yours truly. Yes, at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to tell you how I got arrested in Utah on the way to the Cannabis Cup. We'll follow that up with the after effects of getting arrested and why I'm now flying solo here at the Russ Belville Show. So stay tuned for those details coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also, on today's show, in Behind the Headlines, there's a recent appeals court ruling in the state of Washington that has banned collective gardens. And there's an irony in this that is pretty tragic. We'll unroll and unravel all the details. Maybe those of you who don't know much about Washington state medical marijuana law will get a little bit of an education as well. That's coming up in Behind the Headlines. Also, in our Daily Toker Tunes, it's Roots Monday today. Bacon Dan's going to be calling in and giving us a little bit of cake. We'll have cake and bacon. It's truly a Portland Monday. And speaking of Portland, go Rip City. Go Trailblazers, up 3-1 on the Houston Rockets. An exciting overtime win last night. We're really excited here in Rip City. Also, we'll do our 420 radio headline news. And in the news today, we have got a study coming out of the Journal of Adolescent Health on marijuana usage by teenagers in medical marijuana states. Also, a look at the combined use of alcohol and marijuana and its effect on driving and traffic tickets among teenagers. We've got news from Colorado. A new poll on people's attitudes towards legalization since the passage of Amendment 64. We've also got more news from the Colorado legislature as they are looking at a law that might have amazing effects for thousands of people convicted before Amendment 64 became the law of the land. In New York, they're restricting the medical marijuana bill to try to get some more support. And in Oklahoma, surprise, the Attorney General's got some problems with the medical marijuana initiative. We'll tell you all that when we come back from our break, right here on The Russ Belville Show. Thanks for your support. Thanks for all your well wishes and kind words over this last very difficult week for me. And thanks for supporting 420 Radio. You can do the same. If you want to donate, go to 420radio.org/VIP. Back with the news.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today. 420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, Lee Educated. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, April 28th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Legalizing medical marijuana does not lead to increases in marijuana usage by teenagers. That's the conclusion of a new study published online in the Journal of Adolescent Health. Researchers combed through records of over 11.7 million students covered by the Youth Risk Behavioral Surveillance Survey for the two decades between 1991 and 2011. As researchers compared the data for states before and after the passage of their medical marijuana law and compared those data to nearby states that had not implemented a medical marijuana law, they found, quote, no statistically significant differences in marijuana use before and after the policy change for any state pairing, end quote, and they, quote, did not find an overall increased probability of marijuana use, end quote, after a state legalized medical marijuana. Teenagers who use both alcohol and marijuana are twice as likely to report traffic tickets and crashes as those who only use alcohol. A new study published in the Journal of Studies on Alcohol and Drugs, based on data from the Monitoring the Future study of over 72,000 high school seniors, found that teens who admitted to using alcohol over the past year were 40% more likely to admit getting a traffic ticket and 24% more likely to admit being involved in a crash than teens who did not use alcohol. But teens who used both marijuana and alcohol were 90% more likely to admit getting a traffic ticket and 50% more likely to admit being involved in a crash. Previous studies have shown impairment and crash risk from combining marijuana and alcohol to be almost twice as great as from alcohol use alone. Coloradoans say that legalized marijuana has been good for the state, not increased traffic danger, saved taxpayer money, and not eroded the moral fiber of the people of Colorado. The latest Quinnipiac University poll finds that 54% of Coloradoans support the law legalizing marijuana, with women in greater support at 55% than men at 53%. 54% of voters said driving has not become more dangerous. 53% say legalization has saved the taxpayers a significant amount of money. 52% say legalizing marijuana has been good for Colorado. And two-thirds say legalization has not eroded the moral fiber of Coloradoans. Majorities of Coloradoans under age 65 have tried marijuana, but only 15% of Coloradoans have used marijuana since it became legal. Only people over age 65 and Republicans believed the opposite of the majority. A bipartisan proposal in the Colorado legislature could seal the records of thousands of people convicted for marijuana offenses. Senators Jesse Ulibarri, Democrat from Westminster, and Vicky Marble, Republican of Fort Collins, have proposed a bill that would allow anyone convicted of a marijuana offense that is now legal under Amendment 64 to have their records sealed. Amendment 64 legalized the possession of 1 ounce of marijuana away from the home, transfer of 1 ounce from another to another adult for no remuneration, cultivation of 6 marijuana plants, and possession of the results of the harvest of those plants. In addition, language in the draft bill says a person convicted of, quote, any other marijuana offense, end quote, beyond the scope of Amendment 64, would also be allowed to file a petition with a district attorney to have their record sealed. New York lawmakers are further restricting their proposed medical marijuana bill to try to win more support in Albany. Senator Diane Savino, Democrat from Staten Island, said she has tightened up the bill in response to lawmakers who fear medical marijuana would lead to widespread recreational abuse. Among changes are the removal of language allowing doctors to recommend marijuana for any condition they feel cannabis will help, replaced by a specific list of 20 ailments that will qualify, including cancer, AIDS, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, and PTSD. The bill would also forbid the smoking of marijuana by any patient under the age of 21 who must only use non-smoked forms of cannabis. New York's proposal would follow the seed-to-sale marijuana dispensary tracking method pioneered in Colorado. Oklahoma's Attorney General is citing several problems with a medical marijuana initiative proposed by Oklahomans for Health. AG Scott Pruitt claims the ballot title for the initiative does not explain that marijuana is a non-prescription drug and how the law would interact with the existing state and federal law on marijuana. He also notes that the title does not explain that medical marijuana would be taxed at 7%, that medical marijuana licenses would have no expiration, and that the title doesn't list all the licenses that would be reauthorized by the state. Pruitt says he will now rewrite the ballot title to comply with state law, and if the Secretary of State does not object, activists will attempt to gather over 150,000 valid signatures before June 1st. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, April 28th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at our website at 420radio.org. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at a Washington State Appeals Court ruling involving the city of Kent and their banning of collective gardens. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Hey, Tokers and Tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
The Hot Box Podcast, starring Matt Lee and Ian Baker from Kalispell, Montana, Wednesdays at noon Pacific on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Quarter after the hour. Time for us to go behind the headlines on the Washington appeals ruling that bans collective medical marijuana gardens. This was a lawsuit in the Washington State Court of Appeals, Cannabis Action Coalition versus City of Kent. And it is declared that collective medical marijuana gardens are illegal because they can only consist of registered medical marijuana patients, and Washington State has no medical marijuana registry. Confused? Well, that's understandable. So some background's in order. Washington State's always had a loosely written medical marijuana law. We passed it back in 1998, and it doesn't actually provide any arrest protections for medical marijuana patients. Unlike any medical marijuana state but California, there's no statewide registry of medical marijuana patients. There are no Washington State medical marijuana cards. There's only doctor recommendations typed on tamper-proof paper. And Washington State defines a fairly standard set of conditions, the cancer, AIDS, cachexia, glaucoma, spasticity, seizures, nausea, and pain, but it's still only an affirmative defense in court to charges of possession or cultivation. Patients can still be arrested. Now, initially, Washington didn't even define how much marijuana a patient could possess or cultivate. It was just a vague 60-day supply, which turned out to be pretty generous on the western side of the state, and then not so generous among the sheriffs on the eastern side of the state. Eventually, that got redefined as 24 ounces and 15 plants, which is among the greatest limits you can get for medical marijuana in the country. But there was still the problem of where do you get medical marijuana if you can't or won't grow it. Well, that's when entrepreneurs stepped in and they had this creative interpretation of the designated provider portions of the law, caregiver, if you want to call it that. In the law, a caregiver could only serve one patient at one time, and they were legally allowed to assist the patient with their use of medical marijuana. So these entrepreneurs opened up these storefront dispensaries, and as the patient approached the counter, they'd sign a note to become designate the clerk as their provider. Then they'd take care of the marijuana, and then the clerk would sign them out when they left, and so the next person could come up and become the designated provider, right? See, they're not a dispensary. That's just a designated provider serving one patient at one time, right? So this was a plain wink, wink, nudge, nudge operation of dispensaries, and it led to some raids and anger and all of that. So soon, one of their top legislators proposed a bill, SB 5073, that would bring some order to the medical marijuana market. It would clearly define dispensaries and create a voluntary statewide patient registry with medical marijuana cards. And it also made this definition of patient collective gardens. So 10 patients could legitimately pool their resources to cultivate and harvest up to 45 plants. But then the U.S. attorneys on the eastern and western districts of the state cried foul. They didn't want to see any legalization of dispensaries, so they threatened the governor at the time, who was Christine Gregoire, that any state employees that were involved in the aiding and abetting of federally illegal marijuana commerce would be brought up on federal charges. So Gregoire used her power of line item veto to strike the sections of the new law that created dispensaries and a registry, but in a nod to the needs of legitimate patients, she kept the parts that established the 10-person collective gardens. Well, what happened is the entrepreneurs just switched up from being designated providers for one patient at one time to being collectives for 10 patients at 10 times. And patient one walks in, everybody moves down a slot, and patient 10 is dropped out. So Kent, at that point, says, I don't care what loophole they're using, we're just going to ban collective gardens. Cannabis Action Coalition sued and said no, that SB 5073 legalized collective gardens and the city has no right to ban them. And that's when a smart attorney from the city noticed this, that the collective gardens were only legal if they're comprised of registered patients. This is from the appeals court. Kent, in response, contends that the plain language of SB 5073 did not legalize collective gardens because collective gardens would only have been legalized in circumstances wherein the participating patients were duly registered, and the registry does not exist. The trial court properly ruled that Kent is correct, end quote. So, now not only are the storefronts using the collective garden loophole officially declared illegal, but so are the legitimate groups of 10 patients at a time cultivating 45 plants for their personal medical needs who never had any intention of profiting or opening a storefront. All they got left is the right to possess and cultivate their own marijuana without any protection from arrest, except for the protection for 1 ounce that all Washingtonians now get thanks to legalization. If Washington State still had a voluntary, even a voluntary patient registry, those collective gardens would still be legal. So who always opposed the voluntary patient registries? Who was it that complained that a patient registry is like sex offenders and that we have to oppose all voluntary registries? Why, that would be the same Cannabis Action Coalition that just lost their appeal versus the city of Kent and was one of the loudest opponents of legalization via I-502. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUST to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUST to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
The government tells you that cannabis is a controlled drug. That means it's illegal to grow it, to sell it, or even to possess it. It's not supposed to happen.
What is it?
£20 a bag, mate. It's good. Yeah, they like it.
But it does. Everywhere. All the time. 3 tons gets blazed away in Britain every day. The only ID a dealer asks for is a £20 note. We could have safe, properly controlled sales to adults only. We could be investing in schools and hospitals. Let's get the dealers off the streets. We need clear common sense about cannabis.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. Now, sit back and enjoy your daily Toker Tune.
All right. I got the blues. I don't know if you got the blues. I got the Jailhouse Blues. I got Bacon Dan on the line here. Dan, how you doing?
I'm good, Russ. Actually, I just got back from an interview, so fingers crossed, a very Portland-centric place, too.
Oh, fantastic. Good to hear good news for you and great news for the Blazers last night. I got to see at least, 20, 30 seconds extended shot of free throw guy last night on the TV.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I was very happy to see the Blazers win. You know, one more win and they're in the next round. So fingers crossed for them.
Yeah, things going crazy. And today for Roots Monday, you're bringing us some more food. You're Bacon Dan, of course. And now we've got bacon and cake, which is a very, I thought was a very Portland connection.
It really is. I mean, you know, especially Cake is just awesome. And Ganja John's dog's name is Cake, so why not?
Yeah, all right.
But yeah, no, we got Cake's Never There today. It was just, you know, I figured with everything that happened last week, you know, I was going to be a little snarky and do some sort of jailhouse song, but I'm like, you know what, fuck that. this is just a nice little song. This is when you got something really, really heady and you smoke and you just sit back and you're going to find yourself like grooving with the shoulders going up and down, you know. It's like the Portland hipster way of celebrating a song. It's like, yeah, I'm kind of moving, not really. Yeah, I always end up doing that when this song comes on, so I'm sure you're going to do the same, and I'm sure the listeners are going to do the same.
Well, let's hope so. This is Cake with Never There. Thanks, Bacon Dan. We'll talk to you next week.
You're very welcome.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love. So you tell me that you care, but when I need you,
baby,
you're
never there.
On the phone, long, long distance, always through such strong resistance. First you say you're too busy. I wonder if you even miss me. Never there, you're never there. A candle's fickle flame.
Hey!
To think I held you yesterday, your love was just a game. A golden bird that flies away, a candle's fickle flame.
Hey!
To think I held you yesterday, your love was just a game.
Hey!
You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care, but when I need you,
baby,
take the time to get to know me. If you want me, why can't you just show me? We're always on this roller coaster. If you want me, why can't you get closer? Never there, you're never there. You're never, ever, ever, ever there. Never there, you're never there.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420.
In the afternoon, if I'm home, I smoke marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ. On the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, marijuana. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I got my ganja.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink?
by Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Four20 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. Check out our morning lineup every weekday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. On Monday, it's Drug Truth Network Cultural Baggage with Dean Becker from Houston, Texas. On Tuesdays, Drug Policy Facts with Doug McVeigh from Portland, Oregon. On Wednesdays, Professionals Against Prohibition with Jen Jackson from Raleigh, North Carolina. On Thursdays, Cannabis Network Radio with David Kowalski from Tampa, Florida. And on Fridays, Canna Truths with Denton Ramsey from Waco, Texas. That's 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and 4 p.m. GMT right here on 420radio.org.
As a public service, the Russ Belville Show reminds you that smoking marijuana does not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana, and prohibition is always waiting for another victim. Learn your lesson from today's stupid prohibition stories.
All right, I deserve that. No need to go to the flux capacitor on this one. Freddie Farrakh's got the day off because this is my own special stupid prohibition story of my own that proves even smart people who smoke marijuana sometimes do really stupid things. You may have caught the news that on my way to the 420 Cannabis Cup in Denver, I was arrested in Utah for marijuana and paraphernalia possession. You might rightfully ask, why in the name of Jack Herer would a guy who contributes to High Times and hosts a daily radio program all about the prohibition of marijuana be taking weed to the Cannabis Cup, especially through Utah? Well, I wouldn't. You know, when I travel, I try to do my best to make sure that I'm as clean as possible. In fact, before I left, I threw my casher away because it actually had touched oil. I was that paranoid. Didn't pack anything in my gear, didn't have anything on my person. But I'm guilty of making a few stupid, dumb moves, dumb decisions, and I'm just hoping that by telling my story that other people can learn from this and maybe not do the same dumb things that I did. You can read all about this, too, in High Times online, and it's up on RadicalRust.com right now, too. So how did I end up with a free ride in a cop car? Well, it was a series of cascading fails, and the first one was my decision to road trip from Portland to Denver for the Cannabis Cup on 420. Now, normally, when I travel, it's by train or it's by air. That's usually the way I go. I haven't even owned a vehicle since 2011. And usually what I do is I get these passes for the cup, and wherever I end up at the cup, I, you know, get some volunteers in exchange for passes. They'll help me at the booth. But one of the problems with that is you never know what you're going to get. And no offense to the people who volunteered, you're wonderful people, but you know, I need someone that knows how my computer system works or how the audio system works or how to hook up, you know, where the banners go, you know, these kind of things. So it helps to have people around who know what they're doing. And also, I was in this mood, you know, like to want to share because my roommate, Larry, Left Wing Larry, you know, I'm on the show, had the idea. He's got a car, he's got a Cadillac, and said, you know, why don't we road trip to Denver? I thought that was really a good idea because on the way through, we'd be going through Idaho. I could stop. We could spend the night. I could stop and visit my folks. You know, very rarely I get to see them, maybe once or twice a year. Dad's, you know, 72 now, so it'd be nice to visit him from time to time. And also, Larry is a brand new grandpa, and he's got a family on the western side of Colorado. So if we went through Idaho and then that Utah south and then across Colorado, we'd go right through, and he could visit his family. So great idea. You know, let's road trip. We could split the expenses. We already split expenses as roommates as it is. We'd split the gas. It'd be a nice little trip across. But then also, since we had the room, the next thought was, well, let's bring along my assistant, Brian. And that way he could road trip along with us. And I'd have someone who knows the computer system and knows the audio system, and it'd be easier to run the booth, which in and of itself isn't a bad idea, except for a few factors. Number one, Brian doesn't drive, so there's no help there on the road trip. Brian's not going to be kicking in for gas because he's a volunteer. And Brian's also a long redhead dreadlock Rasta. So going across Idaho and Utah with someone who's frankly cop bait, someone who's going to, you know, attract attention in a place like Utah. So that was the first mistake, was just that idea of that we would go across the country like that. But I just thought, you know, what the hell, let's give it a shot. You know, Larry's just driven himself cross country from Florida, so I know he's capable of making a long road trip. That's not a problem, right? But as we're leaving, we take off. Larry's got the first driving shift out of Portland, and we make our way across most of Western Oregon. We get out there on the plain after you get out of the gorge, and I look ahead and I can see the orange SUV of the Magical Butter Limo. They had driven down from Seattle, and they were making their way across I-84. It's a Chevy Suburban stretch limo, bright orange with the green kind of stoned-looking Magical Butter character on it, you know, treat to eat. And we're coming up on them. And so I text ahead to Jeremy, you know, their manager there, and say, hey, we're coming up on you. What's up? Oh, my God. So we pulled over at the Wild Horse Casino, I think is the truck stop there just outside of Pendleton. And not only did they have the Magical Butter limo, but they've got this new food truck, this new bus that they've converted into this convertible like food truck thing. It's just amazing. And it's all painted up, muraled up with the whole Magical Butter thing. And so I made this joke to Jeremy at the time. I said, man, we ought to follow you guys all the way to Denver. You'll run point for all the cops. That's the tragic irony, because that would have been a great idea. They made it all the way through to Denver. No trouble, no incident at all. But problem with sticking with them is next coming up was the Blue Mountains on the drive, and our Cadillac is faster than climbing those mountains than the big rigs. And besides, we were going to stay in Boise anyway for the night, so we wouldn't have only been able to caravan with them to Boise. So we switched drivers. I got in and drove from the truck stop there, drove us all the way across Oregon, got us into Idaho, went to my folks' place, went across to Boise, stayed with some friends of mine. And then the next morning, I said, well, I'll take the morning driving shift because, well, I was a stoner in Idaho for years. So, I mean, I've never been stopped. Oregon plates in Idaho, by the way, especially in Boise, aren't that out of place either. So it's not that big a deal. I figured, hey, I'll drive us across Idaho. And everything was going just fine. You know, three and a half hours into the drive were just fine until just a few miles before the Utah border. It's getting close to about 10 a.m. We're on a stretch of I-84 in southeastern Idaho as it bends south towards Salt Lake. Larry says he's got to take a pee break, but we're in the middle of nowhere. So I say, well, next rest stop I find, we'll take a pee break. And then as I'm going around some curves, there's a sign ahead that says, drug checkpoint ahead. And then around another curve, there's one that says, drug detecting dog in use. And then there's a third sign that says, county sheriffs ahead. Now, this is a trick, actually. I know about this trick. We've reported on it before. There's no such thing as a drug checkpoint. Those are unconstitutional. What there will be are officers who are watching the exits and the roadsides after the signs to see who pulls over to dump contraband. So I told Larry he's going to have to hold it, and we're not going to be stopping. Now, here's where I make another stupid mistake. In my ignorance, I assumed that county sheriffs ahead would be in the current Idaho county we were in, and didn't stop to think that, hey, maybe Idaho and Utah might cooperate on this kind of stuff, place a sign for each other, whatever. So there's a fail on my point. Third fail, we get another 20 miles. We cross the Utah border. I see a sign that says Snowville, 7 miles. So I tell Larry, just we'll gas up and pee there. Here's where I also failed. We did not need to gas up. I still had a half tank of gas in that Cadillac. Larry had been saying you need to pee, but he also said, hey, I got this bottle here. I'll just pee in this bottle. I didn't want to make Larry pee in a bottle. So we pull off the exit. There's a truck stop there. Now, at this point, I don't recall if they were there when I first pulled up, and I'd like to think they weren't. Otherwise, I might have behaved differently. But when I come out of the truck stop convenience store, there are three county cop cars and one unmarked car in the parking lot. None of the cops are paying me much attention or Larry gassing up the car, but they do notice the Oregon plates. And then out comes Brian from the store with his long redhead dreadlocks. And this is where we got profiled. And this is not Brian's fault. People should be able to travel across this country looking any way they want. And I've heard some tales from other folks that were at the Cannabis Cup this weekend, guys with tattoos saying they were getting profiled and so forth. So not anyone's fault, but it's just a fact of life if you're going across Utah. And then we come to my biggest, most massive fail of the day, the one that I'm still kicking myself over, the one that is definitely going to sting for a long time. It was Larry's turn to drive, so I let him. I let Larry drive away. And no offense to Larry or anything, but in that situation, I should have been behind the wheel. I should have been the guy that the cops had been talking to and taking charge, because I'm the one who's trained for this stuff. But I let Larry drive. I was tired. I was fatigued. Made that mistake. So we get about 3-4 miles down the road. Next thing we know, we've got the county sheriff K-9 SUV rolling the lights behind us and pulls us over. So the next fail on my part is when we get pulled over, you got, 45, 60 seconds before the cop comes up the window. I didn't get the team together. I didn't say, hey guys, all right, look, everybody be cool. Don't talk. Remember what we've gone through. Remember Omar Figueroa, all the things on our ad. I didn't do it. I started doing it myself, just being quiet, but I should have done more than that. I should have coached everybody at that point, but I didn't. I was kind of panicked myself. So I'm running it through in my head. I don't consent to any searches. Why are you pulling us over? I wish to speak to an attorney. Am I being detained or am I free to go? But didn't think to remind everyone else. So K-9 officer Jensen, it was his name, approaches my window and I'm the passenger side and I roll it down and I roll it all the way. And then he says, roll it back up a bit. It's like, okay. So when I do, he slaps a box kind of thing on one side and on the other side, and it makes a beep. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what is this, a weed particle smoke detector on window residue film thing or what? No, but it was a thing to detect the window tint. And the cop says, do you know why I pulled you over? I'm just being silent. And he's like, your window tint is shading at 23% light coming through. Here in Utah, the law is 42, and I checked in Oregon, it's 35, so you're illegal back home too. I'm thinking, yeah, right. It's the 12% difference in the window tint shading that attracted your attention, not my passenger in the back seat with the long red dreadlocks that had nothing to do with it. The Oregon plates, I'm sure, had nothing to do with it, right? So then there's just a series of unfortunate incidents. And look, I'm not going to go back over the entire thing, but we made a lot of mistakes in dealing with those cops. And if you want to read about it, it's in the High Times article. It's also on RadicalRust.com, but it ends up with the cop getting consent to search the car, running a dog around it that alerts, opening the trunk, forcing me and Brian to sit on the side of the road about 50 yards down the way while they go through the trunk, pull everything out, and begin to make roadside tests of the things they find. And I was arrested for possession of marijuana, possession of paraphernalia, and Brian was arrested for possession of marijuana and 5 possession of paraphernalia charges. 5 possession of paraphernalia charges. The bail for getting me out so that we could get to the Cannabis Cup took Larry all the money he had in the bank. It was about $1,200 to bail me out. To get Brian bailed out, it was about $4,000. So I hope you learn from my lesson about choosing who and how you travel across this country. It's not fair that we're profiled. It's not right that we can't take our medicine from state to state, but it is the fact, and it can cost you a lot, including a whole lot of pride. Stay tuned. We'll explain what happened to Brian when we come back.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Just Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals, they're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
So, Sarah, what's going on here? Sarah? Sarah?
She won't answer you. Or she can't.
Why not?
This is the way it's been since she started smoking pot. She's all lazy and boring and... You know, we used to have so much fun together.
And now?
This is what we do.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind. Liberate your mind. Liberate your mind. That's what you got to do.
Liberate.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Welcome back, everybody. Continuing my tale of my 420 weekend. And if you haven't read it on Facebook or Twitter, I made an official announcement that Brian Wilson, a.k.a. Brian the Red, a.k.a. Red Eyes, is no longer employed or representing 420radio.org or the Russ Belville Show. Had to let him go after the weekend. And I've been debating how much to tell of this story, what to say about this. You know, I'm so open with my audience. And when somebody's on the air and you listen to their voice day after day, you know, like you'd heard Brian day after day, maybe you, you know, deserve to know why or what happened. But it was just the culmination of so much. And the first thing to me was the situation of getting arrested there. Now, I'm willing to take all of the responsibility needed for, you know, having the dumb idea of bringing along someone who's going to attract police attention and who may or may not be holding. But five paraphernalia charges, which was the reason why the bail was so high, to me was just shocking. I was just stunned at that. So that had already put me in a pretty foul mood. And then to get out, you know, and not get a thank you or a, you know, how I'll find a way to pay you back, as if I expected that to be possible, was a little much to take. But I was still holding it in because we had the big 420 weekend. We've got the big Cannabis Cup. I've got my presentation that I'm going to be doing at the High Times Cannabis Cup, the Kevin Sabet thing I've been working on for a couple months. So I needed to keep everything tamped down, you know, emotionally stable so that I could, you know, do a good show. So the next thing that happens is we get to, and I didn't sleep, by the way, the night after the arrest. We got into Colorado at like 2:30 in the morning. Larry's son's house, 2:30 in the morning, and I didn't sleep from that point on because I was up writing things down and trying to recollect everything, and I was just so shaken up. So the next day, we get drive into the Denver area, and our load-in at the event is at 6 p.m. So we go there to the load-in at 6 p.m., and it's a ways, quite a ways away from where we're staying. So once we get to the load-in, we want to get it, get out, get done, go back home and crash, because it's been a hectic weekend so far. But there's a major snafu at the Denver Mart. The Denver Mart didn't get their pipe and drape changed out from the previous show that had just closed at 5:30. So the long story short of it is that we ended up sitting there for about 5.5 hours for the load-in. We, about halfway through, figured out where our booth would be, and we set it up, only to be told we had to tear it down and move it aside so they could move all the pipe and drape, except for the pipe and drape that made up our booth. It stayed exactly where it was. And at that point, where it's about 11 at night, and we are to reset up for the second time now, the booth, my assistant, Brian, vanishes. He's fed up with how awful the load-in is and vanishes, leaving me and Larry to set the booth up. Larry, 69 years old, standing on chairs trying to set up a banner. So that kind of made me mad, but I'm still trying to hold it in because we've got a whole weekend we have to work together and want to have more cooperation than anything. I'll deal with it after the show. We get back to our place to crash about midnight, and I'm sitting there that night thinking, you know what? I'll just go set up by myself. I'll catch a cab, go set up by myself. These guys can sleep in, you know, and they can come in, you know, when it's time for the show. That'll be just that. I'll feel better just getting it done. So the next morning, I got all my suit, got dressed up. It's Saturday morning of the Cup. Take a cab out there to the Cup, and I set my booth. It wasn't that hard because Larry and I had done most of the stuff. So it was just the computer and the PA I had to set up. Well, come 12:30, when Larry and Brian get there, and not their fault again because it was a huge line and there was a whole bunch of problems trying to get in and all that. I understand that. And really, I didn't say what time to come in. Brian is perturbed that I had gone and set up by myself because of all the time he missed that he could have been networking and meeting people. So letting him sleep in and miss the load in again, second one, was somehow my fault, was somehow bad on my part. So that's got me even a little more angry. And then as the rest of the day goes on, we get to talking and we get to discussing what's going on and what had happened on the roadside. And I learned some details, and I'm not going to describe them, but I learned some things that make me even angrier about the risk taken on the roadside stop. So now I'm at a pretty good saturated red boiling point for the weekend, but I've got to hold it in because I've got to be friendly and have, you know, work with these people. These are my two volunteers. I've only got two people. I only had four wristbands for this one. I usually get eight. I only had four people to deal with. So I've got to stay at the booth. I got to have someone taking pictures. I got to have someone taking video. I have someone to watch the booth when I go out. So all right, just hold it in. We'll just hold it in and just deal with the circumstances later because right now I got work to do. So did the rest of the work. The next day, Sunday, I'm just going to say it was incredibly disappointing. I had thought where I would be presenting was this big open hall that had massive traffic flow and hundreds of people watching it. Turned out where I was to present was down a long hallway that nobody went to, and I ended up doing my presentation for 11 people. And that, after all I'd been through for the weekend, just broke it for me. I was just completely shocked and stunned and just a walking zombie kind of, but went back to the booth and continued working out for the rest of the day. And then as that day ended, and the teardown time comes, Brian says, "Hey, well, I'm going to go out and get more footage of the booths and people tearing down and stuff." And at which point I didn't even want to speak to him. I was so mad. So I let him just go away, and Larry and I proceeded to tear down the rest of the booth. So that ended, and then there's the Cannabis Cup Awards, which Brian ran out to get footage of. And so I sat there at the booth with some of our gear. We'd already taken some of it to the car, the Cadillac, and Larry stayed in the Cadillac to sleep. And I'm sitting there, just sitting there in my suit, just ruminating on the entire weekend and how things had gone. And that's when Brian comes back with four cases of soda, carrying four cases of soda, chronic cola or something. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's Medicaid or not. I don't think it is. Maybe it is. I don't know. Four cases of soda. And what's this? Oh, well, they're tearing down the booth. They're just giving these away. Okay, so now we're going to pack four cases of soda. Okay. So we pack those up. I end up having to carry a couple, packing them back to the car and load those up and start heading back to our crash pad after what had been a disastrous weekend for me, just exhausting. And Brian mentions that he's got these two tickets for a Matis Yahoo concert that it's at the Fillmore or whatever theater it was. And could we drop them off there? Sure. So we going to drop them off. Now, how are you going to get back to our crash pad way the hell out in the west side of Denver? Well, I'll find a ride with somebody or something. I'm like, oh, God. So I open my wallet, take out all the cash that I had raised from the donations that day, which was about $80. Handed it to him, said, here, you'll be able to get a cab ride home. And let him go to that. Now, at that point, he's saying, well, okay, so in the trunk, there's still a laptop, and I still have a this and that, and would you move that and this and this? And I said, sure, fully intending not to, because if you want your stuff moved, come back and move it, because here was the situation. Larry was going to drop me off at the crash pad, and he was just going to start driving home. Forgot to mention during this story that I had purchased two business select flights for myself and Brian to fly back so that A, he wouldn't get profiled on the way back across the red states, and B, I wouldn't be in that situation either because I had it. So since Larry was going to have to drive back by himself, he was going to drop me off at the crash pad and then head back off across the red states. So Larry got to go driving back home across the red states with some of Brian's gear in the trunk. Who knows what might have been in that gear? So I get back to the crash pad and finally get some sleep. And Brian gets back sometime that night. And that morning, we're getting ready to go. And we're riding into the airport with my friend's husband. And we're going to be riding in with my friend's husband when Brian brings up a torch and a flip knife that we had when we drove across the country, but obviously you can't take into an airport. And so he said, yeah, can you have your friend mail this back to me? I'm like, yeah, sure. We can have that mailed back because, you know, after this weekend, no drugs, no flames, no weapons at the airport. And he laughed and kind of said, yeah. And I said, no, really. I mean, no weapons, no flames, no drugs of any kind. Yeah. He kind of laughs. So I went upstairs and was talking to my friend. And I sat there and I just had this gnawing feeling in the pit of my stomach. So I went back downstairs and I said, I need to know, Brian, absolutely positively that you have nothing on you that you are taking to the airport that has even touched cannabis. And I mean nothing. And long story short of that is there was something. We were going to head back to the airport with his long red dreads, where it had just been 420 weekend, where we had just been bailed out of jail, where it cost $5,000 or more for the bail and the plane tickets. And that was going to happen? Well, I lost it. That's where I became extremely angry. We rode back to the airport. And at the airport, I had him give me all of the 420 radio gear. And I fired him on the spot. So, if you're wondering what happened to Brian, that's what happened to Brian. All right, thanks for all of your support. Again, I can't believe what wonderful fans and supporters we have. So many people with well wishes and joined as VIPs and made donations. Still a ways to go. Still have a lawyer to pay and possible court date. We shall see, but I will keep you posted. And as things evolve here at 420 Radio, remember, I'll always be doing this for you guys because we all need to be free. All right, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time. Take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.